This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us on a December-y looking Monday afternoon, whatever. It's the same thing.
It's a Monday.
All day?
Yeah, but we're like two-thirds of the way through this show.
Shoot.
Are you kidding me? I mean, it's December.
All right, Mater.
December 9th, like you said a minute ago. It's Monday, and it's 2:07. Just some facts there for the people.
It's like hyper-local radio.
Have you ever listened to radio where you tune in and, like, I mean rural?
Yeah.
And they're like, well,
it sounds like
Tom just called in. He's got a couple of rakes that he wants to sell.
Yeah, it makes me happy.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
I'll listen to that for way longer than I would listen to the podcast here.
It's 2:08 Central Time Zone.
2:08? Yeah. Looks like a minute later than last time I gave the time check.
Now what do we do?
It's great.
We got 36 seconds until I can say it's 2:09. Steve Moore said this when we were talking to him at 105. If you're interested in his thoughts on the economy, he talked about the cabinet picks, especially the economically based ones, and what we have going forward. He just said, the way he said hello, he's like, I'm smiling all the time.
That's tomorrow's promo.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. I'm glad he said something else in there, too, that even the Democrats he knows are like, you know what? Maybe they didn't vote for Donald Trump, but they're also feeling optimistic.
I forgot to ask Mike Boss that. Dang it. I wanted to ask him how bipartisan it would be. Like how much work he sees. You have seen congressmen from the other side of the aisle go, well, I'll pay attention to this. I would like to be in on it. Smart for them to be interested. Because listen, if the Republicans agree and show up, Democrats don't have a say. They're in the minority.
In
super
anything.
Tiny minority. Yeah. I mean, like, from go watch your How a Bill Becomes a Law situation. Republicans, if they are able to agree and not get in their own way, they're going to be able to do what they want to do. So if I'm a Democrat and I'm not an idiot, I'm going to want to be involved in the process wherever I can be to at least, even if you're not in a position to fully sway the conversation into your side of the aisle's camp, you could report on what is being said and how it's being done. And you could answer to your constituents in that way. So any Republican right now, if you stick together, you're going to be able to make an enormous amount of impact on the future of this country. But any Democrat that's like not willing to be a part of the conversation, you're doing your constituents a great disservice.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how many Democrats. Now, they're not saying everything I would want them to say, of course, because that would probably make them Republicans. But they are saying that they want to work with the government cutting phases, the DOGE stuff. And that is so important, because if they're going to make any, and I asked Congressman Boss about this too, if they're going to make any meaningful big picture cuts to a lot of mandatory government spending, as he put it, 60% of the budget, they're going to need Democrats on board, at least in the Senate, if not the House, to get rid of some of the big picture structural stuff that needs to change if we're going to ever have a shot at a balanced budget.
I will be curious to see how much can get cut before we know that it's being cut.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, to me, it would be in the left's best interest to step up and be a part of the conversation. There's got to be things that they want to cut that the Republicans also won. There's got to be something. You cannot possibly tell me. I mean, even in budget fights, when you're having budget conversations, the Democrats are always saying, we don't need to spend money over here. We need to spend money over there. So there's definitely places you're willing to cut the budget. And there's fraud and waste in every single.
Yeah. And everybody knows it.
Yes. So how do you limit that? I mean, even the concept of saying, we got a lot of buildings that we're paying to clean, we're paying to heat, we're paying to cool, we're paying to secure, we're paying property taxes on, or whatever it might be. Like, we're paying all of these things and people aren't coming into work. So I know people in government who work from home and they're wondering, like, do I get to keep my job? Am I going to have to relocate and go in order to keep my job? There also is the possibility that, yes, you get to keep your job. You're doing a wonderful amount of work and effectively making the difference you need to make in your state of employment. But what we don't need to be doing is funding the desk that you don't sit in some federal building just for the sake of doing that. So in that regard as well, maybe working from home does reshape, finally, the federal government structure the way it is. Absolutely. We're years past private sector America adjusting and adapting to the benefits on hard costs of working from home.
Yeah, we've all seen this happen in the private sector. Actually, just recently, if you work in the mortgage industry, for instance, and I'm talking about big, big mortgage industry, like big corporations, they'll have these boom times when everybody's refinancing at the same time. And then all of a sudden, they're hiring people like crazy. And then rates change, and then all of a sudden, business slows down. And this can apply to any business, any industry. And then they have to figure out, oh, okay, all that hiring we did, was it all really essential long term? Or now how do we kind of consolidate? Because some people are doing jobs that we don't really need anymore. Some people are doing a third of a job, and could we make three people into one job? And the private sector goes through this over and over and over.
Over and over and over again. Raise your hand if you're doing the job of more than one person, even 5 years ago.
Exactly.
My hands in the air.
Exactly.
It kind of drives me crazy to think about, having been in the radio industry since 2006 when I started, second time I've talked about this on the air, but in sports radio in 2006, but all of the different things I've done in a background support position, I'm pretty much doing all of those things for myself as the person with my name on the show. I'm doing all of these things myself because that's the nature of the business. And if I'm going to sit around and complain, like, where's the digital brand manager? That's what I used to be for 9 years on the station. Like, I need digital things done. I can scream that into the void and nothing's going to happen. I'm going to have to do that myself. And there's nothing really so much wrong with that. If the company is able to sustain and have employees that are willing to stay and work for the wage they're willing to pay them for the job they're asking them to do, that's not going to change in the private sector. In the public sector, fits are thrown and things don't change. But that's about to change.
They have unlimited funding. So they've never had to go through those ebbs and flows for what? 50, 70 years? They've just grown.
Well, not only do they have unlimited funding, the way their funding is structured, it encourages them to spend more money, yes, not less money.
Yeah, so what's the incentive? Well, we're there. It's exciting. We're going to watch it unfold.
Yeah.
One of the news stories, big news stories of the day, that CEO, that United Healthcare CEO, the killer. There have been some developments in that. Let's listen to Fox News.
Now, investigators and NYPD police sources, Harris, telling Fox News that they believe they found a man who matches that same description of the gunman who killed that CEO in Midtown Manhattan. They found him at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Okay, that's like a 5-hour drive from where we are right now. We knew that the person of interest had possibly hopped on a bus and fled town. Now we're being told they believe they have that person of interest in Altoona, Pennsylvania. So we kind of talked about this earlier when I checked in with you. Person of interest, suspect, they're keeping it at person of interest right now, and they're just saying he matches the description. But not only does he match the description for people watching at home, he also, according to investigative sources who are telling Fox News, he had the weapon they believe was used in this murder in his pocket.
That's a development. So that took place earlier this morning. Alexis McAdams continued to report on the...
This is what happens, I'm told, from police, and it's still developing. But this person's at this McDonald's in Altoona. We've been putting these pictures out all across the country because it's been a nationwide manhunt. So they've been asking people, do you recognize this man in the photo? We want to talk to him. We think he was linked to this ongoing investigation. Well, somebody, Harris, said that McDonald's in Pennsylvania recognized him, called it into local police, and here we are right now. So if this ends up panning out, and they are going to question this guy in Pennsylvania. We could have a huge break in this case. This comes as that CEO is having a private funeral right now in Minneapolis area where he was from. He was just in town for business where he was gunned down.
Fox News reports a person of interest arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania, in the search of the individual who killed that UnitedHealthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, has been identified as 26-year-old Luigi Mangione. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said at a press conference Monday that, quote, he matches the description of the identification we've been looking for, and that he is in possession of several items that we believe to be connected with this incident. Fox News also reported within the hour the gun found on the suspect in the fatal shooting of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson appears to be a ghost gun that may have been made on a 3D printer, according to authorities. New York Police Department commented on it and said Luigi Mangione was taken into police custody in Pennsylvania. He was in possession of the ghost gun that, quote, had the capability of firing a 9mm round and a suppressor. As of right now, the information we're getting from Altoona is that the gun, you know, appears to be a ghost gun. May have been made on a 3D printer. The capability of firing a 9mm round, obviously that will come during our ballistics testing. They also reported, this is just reported right now, the man arrested was not talking to authorities. Mangione did not have a lawyer as of Monday afternoon, according to law enforcement. So he is not communicating. They also reported that a handwritten document recovered from the alleged gunman accused of killing Brian Thompson appeared to show animosity towards corporate America. I think this is the guy, according to the NYPD. We don't think there's any specific threats to other people mentioned in that document, but it does seem that he has some ill will toward corporate America. Corporate America, and you just gun this guy down, like,
Well, you can have an overall sentiment, but if that sentiment is feeding into, you know, hitman style action, then that's your guy.
Whenever I see a crime like this, as soon as it makes sense, it's not like you can make sense of things that you don't like, obviously. But as soon as you understand that, you know, person A had anger and wanted to get revenge on person B because person B did this to person A, and what that person B did in no way, shape, or form warrants their murder, at least you can, like, connect the dots and understand the situation. We as people like to understand things. Fear boils up when you don't understand because your wildest thoughts end up filling in the gaps. So it kind of caught me off guard like this. It's a little too soon when people were like, you know, there are a lot of people who are denied coverage for things in America from insurance companies. And it's very like all of these motives that were being floated out there when, at least from the public standpoint, and I always assume that the authorities have a whole host of details. So they're way closer to the thing than they're going to tell us what they want us to know. For whatever particular reason, because they're trying to get the next lead that's going to help us get the guy. But there's a man that had been gunned down, and people immediately are like, you know, the insurance industry denies a lot of people. So it's like, we can't, the shooter is on the loose, but now we need to talk about the insurance industry and denials of coverage, which I think we would all agree that the insurance industry needs a huge amount of reform. Can we try to get the guy who pulled the trigger before we pin on this whole situation some sort of insurance policy change? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't know.
It seems heartless to me.
Well, I mean, it's a conversation that it's funny because that conversation about denied claims and stuff, it's like people are waiting to have that conversation.
Just waiting for an opportunity.
This was an excuse to have it.
Same thing with school shootings.
Uh-huh. But this isn't necessarily... This isn't necessarily linked to that. It might be. We just don't know yet.
It's okay to wait and find out.
It looks like we might know sooner than later.
And it's also okay to wait and find out that it wasn't about that and then still have the conversation after the fact. But trying to use some sort of scenario like this to make some sort of political statement, ever, I hate.
Or to try to paint him in a different light because of it. That's just so ridiculous to say, well, here's maybe his motivation for it. Maybe that's a motivation that would move you.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. He just murdered somebody.
Yeah. Yes. The ends definitely don't justify the means here. The other big news story out of today surrounds Daniel Penney.
Protesters are pretty upset. There's a large crowd of them out here next to me. You can hear them rattling the police barricades, saying no justice, no peace. And what they're yelling now follows a series of threats that they hurled earlier as the defense walked in with their client, Daniel Penney, telling the defense team that Daniel Penney can have no peace here in New York if he's found not guilty on this lesser charge, criminally negligent homicide. And from what I can hear right now, they're repeating those threats. They are very angry. Harris, I also want to mention there were a couple people here this morning to support Daniel Penney, but the anti-Penney crowd far outweighs them, and they seem pretty upset. We're seeing police officers come out here in droves to try to keep the two groups separated for now.
I hope America understands what good we can do for our culture, for our investment in the idea of order in our society. We have spent over a decade investing in disorder, in trying to upend the entire system so that power can be allocated to people who use the upending of that system for their own personal gain. There's no cause that ends up benefiting the greater good when this type of chaos ensues. And we were way too quiet as a country watching our country burn because these lunatics want to insert some sort of racial division on the outside of Daniel Penney. We need to, as a country, stand up and support this man. We need to, I'm calling on everybody to support him financially. I don't know how that's going to materialize, but I'm sure there is something. He's going to be taken to civil court. That's already been put into motion. He could lose. He could have a huge financial obligation due to a civil court judgment. He has legal fees that he's going to have to address. And if America wants to say, enough, you obnoxious little brats that are out there in the streets trying to advocate for something that did not happen here, and you can ask the jury of his peers that said so in this New York courtroom. If we are not as a country going to take this opportunity to say we've had enough, go throw your fit in the privacy of your own home, whine and moan about why you think life's not fair. This is not how we do things in this country anymore. You're going to have to find a new way because we're not afraid to say so anymore. Daniel Penney's name should be on the restoration of law and order in this country, and America needs to get behind him to support that. I really hope they do. I heard Kayleigh McEnany say today on Outnumbered that he should get a medal from President Trump. Mm-hmm.
It feels different now than it did.
Which is good.
It is. It just feels like there's been a shift. Look, these industries, the race industry that drums up all of this chaos whenever something doesn't go their way, that still exists. It's not immediately gone, but they're just this time feels like America is watching it through a different lens than they used to.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of legitimacy whenever the finances came out. And it's like, well, what are you doing with all this money that people are donating to you? And they're buying
mansions. Buying mansions. That should be a crime.
I think that is a crime.
Well, yeah, extortion maybe?
or some sort of like laundering of money through your organization.
Let's take a quick break. We'll give you more updates as they come in on the Luigi Mangione suspect in the shooting of that CEO of UnitedHealthcare, the Daniel Penney, not guilty on criminal negligence. And of course, the case or the charge dismissed on the manslaughter. That was Friday. Gosh, things keep going in the right direction for once. I don't even know how to handle these sequential victories of such. Well,
it's emotionally taxing.
I need more practice. I need them to keep coming so that I remember how to do this. We'll be right back. Run, run, Rudolph, 'cause I'm reeling like a merry-go-round. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Ryan, did you get... This is something that was provided to you when you went to the location.
Yes.
Okay, so this is not the same as Friday. your event on Friday.
No, that's completely different.
Talk to us about the event on Friday. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was great. It was the St. Clair County GOP Christmas party. Invited me to speak, and I said, that's weird, but okay. And I spoke at the event.
Did people stay?
I mean, like, half the room probably stayed. You know, the other half visited the bathroom and the bar quite a bit. But
I need another shot.
Yeah, I think I kept about half the room engaged, you know, for a good 15, 20 minutes.
Well done.
Thank you.
It's a good batting average in baseball.
I would think so. Yeah, 500.
Famer.
You trying to pull some Juan Soto numbers over there?
Yeah, put me in Cooperstown for the St. Clair GOP event.
Give him that
15-year,
$700-plus million contract.
Ryan, did you hear about Juan Soto's new contract?
That's all I talked about Friday.
That's why he kept 50% of the room.
I said, I know you guys are not like, this
when
isn't
was,
that group.
When was that deal done?
Last night.
Okay, so you talked about impression.
Well, I'm real plugged in. I knew it was coming.
Do you know who Juan Soto is?
Did you leak it? You're the one that they got out.
Do you
early
think that Juan Soto is one of the best wide receivers in the league?
I wouldn't say one of the best. In fact, I wouldn't even call him a wide receiver. Boom.
Okay. Boom. Oh, man, I'm like, if he's this dumb, on this issue. Yeah, no, it's hard to say. I don't know if he's ever actually done it. He
is
could
about
be.
Four or five years ago.
Professional speaker Ryan Wiggins,
by the way,
can book him. For the
We were playing Alexis McAdams clips last segment, and she said, they found the suspect at McDonald's.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. That sounds like my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And because he would say, McDonald's, and he'd talk about Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago. He was the chief of police outside of Chicago. And he would say those words, and I would, you sound Chicago. And I looked up Alexis McAdams, grew up in Chicago.
Chicago? Chicago, or did they say a suburb?
It just said Chicagoland.
Well, we have a gift here for the show, and I'm really excited to open this. Ryan was given this gift to provide to us here on the show, and you were stopping in our favorite secret.
Mm-hmm.
The best secret of the Metro East.
Gosh, I hated to share it because it is a great secret, but whenever I talk about them, they get so many people who show up and go, hey, listen to you in the Fry Show stuff. So,
and they're real smart.
And I'm like, okay.
So they gave us a box.
So yeah, so here's the story.
Yeah, why were you there?
About a month ago.
There's only one reason to go there.
I go to the Little
very
Debbie store.
Specific.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Little Debbie store in Roxana, Illinois. It's like the old Hostess stores where they would have like the day old stuff. Well, they have a lot of that kind of stuff there, but it's a Little Debbie. So I went there about a month ago and just kind of stocked up like I usually do.
Like you're preparing for the apocalypse.
I was just talking to you about STS Armory, and we just picked up our 20 gauge shotgun from them, you know, because we're preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, you're stocking up as well and you're preparing.
Right.
For what?
Apocalypse. Because if the apocalypse happens, exactly, you think people are going to be like, oh man, I really need to get my asparagus. No,
you're
I need
diabetic.
Swiss cake rolls.
You're diabetic.
That doesn't matter.
Just imagine all you've had to eat for like 7-8 months is squirrel, and somebody rolls up and like, hey, I'll trade you.
Oh man, you're onto something.
See?
There.
See? So a month ago I went there and they said, wait,
as
we
if
really...
Ryan is going to trade away a single... Ding dong. No, ding dong's not right.
Yeah. He would eat
Swiss
it and be like,
cake,
oh, man,
cake roll.
That's a shame.
But no, they, and oatmeal cream pies and stuff. So they were going to send this about a month ago, and they had it packed up, but they hadn't sent it yet. Well, I went there this Saturday, and they said, oh my gosh, we were just getting ready to send this. They had the box all ready to go.
Shit, you saved them like $20 in shipping.
And yeah, and so they said, just take it with you to work. So here it is. I don't know what's in it.
The second generation family. This place, you go. I think the best way to find them is on Facebook.
Yep.
It's a second generation family, and they deal in Little Debbie.
They actually are called second generation distribution.
When you are looking for a Little Debbie cake and you go to Roxana to this place, how worthy is the discount and the savings? How worth the time?
I mean, it's like a half an hour from my house, and I drive up there. So, man,
it sounds like Will Ferrell and Elf, like through the gumdrop wars.
I'd tell you who would, I would be really mad if I dealt in full price Little Debbie wares anywhere within the Roxana area because they've got them undercut.
Full price wares.
Movie theater, popcorn, butter, gourmet, old fashioned, better made signature. I've never heard of that brand. I guess, is that Little Debbie lady on top? I don't know. Potato sticks. When was the last time you had potato sticks?
Sweet. I can't even see it. Oh, there we go.
I don't know that I've ever had those.
Oh, these are
those
good.
Those like cheddar fries kind of thing? Is that what those are?
I don't know what cheddar fries are. I feel like potato sticks, I almost feel like that's something that maybe one of my grandparents would have had when I was little. Like, I wonder if I haven't had these in 20 years. Here is fudge.
Ooh, it's fudge.
Chocolate peanut butter fudge. Jalapeno cheddars flavored cheese puffs. You like that, Ethan?
Mm-mm.
I do. Although I don't know
great
how much I can handle
audio
the
content.
Jalapeno.
birthday cake cookies. Sunbelt Bakery peppermint chocolate chip chewy granola bars.
Oh, I haven't had that flavor. Ooh. Those look good.
I haven't had that flavor. Have you had all the others?
Yeah.
Christmas mini muffins. Let's see.
What makes them Christmas?
Yeah, this is all Christmas, different Christmas stuff.
Christmas cakes.
Christmas tree cakes.
Oh, let me tell you something. The Christmas cakes this year are like an internet phenomenon. I don't know if you've seen people buying big boxes of these things, but I've seen it many times that people have stacks and stacks of these Christmas tree little Debbie cakes.
You know that I've been making some shirts and stuff at home in my crafting days. They now have... Yeah, Brad is wearing one right now. They now have, this is so weird. You want to talk about Christmas tree cakes. They have vinyl that you can put on shirts in the Christmas tree cake print.
That doesn't surprise me.
It's awesome. White with the red ribbons and the green sprinkles. You can buy that to make your Christmas sweatshirts or whatever in the Little Debbie Christmas. That's how iconic these are. People see that and they know. It's like the stupid cups, the blue cups with the purples, whatever.
He's told me when we were talking on Saturday that those Christmas tree cakes have been huge this year, and people are buying them by the case from them.
Yeah.
Because...
is there something we don't
there
know?
There is. And I said, what is it? Why is it this year? Because I've seen them my whole life, but why are they such a big deal this year? He said that it's become a thing where people are smashing them up and putting, like, was it cream cheese or something with it and something else, and doctoring them up and making cake balls out of it.
Oh.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Amish country snack stuff in here, too. And let's see. Mini Christmas tree cake donuts. So it's the same print. That sounds good. And then Christmas tree brownies. Ooh, How's that sound?
Oh,
I think that's it. There's nothing else in here.
Those are mine.
No, this is...
Those giant fudge rounds, double decker?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Rounds.
I didn't see those
those
there.
Those are mine.
Those are... Here, you can have this.
Whoa, yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. Some gummy candy that you know he's going to love.
What are they?
Here, I'll show the camera. I don't know what they're called.
If you're buying,
what about for the other thousands of people that can't see the camera?
If you're buying treats or whatever.
Fruit slices.
For kids.
Fruit slices, okay.
For a school party, if you're having people over and you want to set out wrapped cakes that you don't have to make and that are simple and you like need to have something, go check out the Second Generation Store. They didn't pay us for this. They just gave us
some
stuff.
No, they're just being nice.
Yeah.
And I go there all the time anyway.
And that's it. That's all that's in
here. How many times a month would you say you go there?
I would say an average of once a month.
Once a month.
You go monthly?
If it was in Collinsville,
you pay your mortgage
I'd go,
and you go to the Second Generation.
Yeah, at least once a week.
And then like your Saturday afternoon activity.
But I have to make a trip up there and I still do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you pack for the trip? Do you pack like these snacks for the trip?
No, because you can make it one way.
Double-decker
and then by the time
rounds.
You get there and you're on your way home, you're fully stocked.
Right. Okay. So. But if for some reason you were to go and they were closed, you'd be in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Can you feel the sugar injecting into your system when you eat these double-decker fudge rounds?
I actually can feel it right now because
you can see them.
I was eating the Swiss cake rolls that I bought there in the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh, go there and tell them hi from the Annie Fry Show. Thank you guys for sending this to us. That's nice. This all go in the snack drawer, and basically it's Ryan's be a good boy drawer.
Yeah, I'm just going to sort of get in that drawer like a kid gets in a sink for his bath.
Stop being weird.
Stop. Stop being weird. He won't have anything to say. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go to the Second Generation Little Debbie store. I mean, I seriously have been there myself.
It's just fun.
Really, it's a fun place
to
go.
It's small. It's a little bitty store.
It's unassuming when you go and you're going to be like, is this really the place? And you're going to go and you're going to be like, I found something.
Yeah.
It's just it's kind of like a fun trip.
I like going there and I like going to King Louis right up the street.
Oh, yeah. Get a root beer float.
Float and the cheddar cheese wedges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Oh, man. It's a good day.
I like how you hit up the double-decker fudge rounds before you go get your...
I feel like I need to go with Ryan on one of these trips just to see what
he experiences.
I don't know if you want to see him like that.
Hey, one more plug for that area, Wood River Atomic Pinball. It's a great night. Do the whole thing.
In any particular order.
Yeah, really.
All right, let's get this back on track and talk about who should be deported next on the Annie Fry Show. On the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll, you can give us your thoughts anywhere from everybody who's here illegally to nobody should be deported and a few options there in the middle. Annie Fry YouTube channel on the poll. We'll get the results with Ethan on the Annie Fry Show next. Fry Show. I'm here to report that the snack drawer is full.
Good. Just one or?
One, but it's a big, it's like,
a big, deep
it's like
drawer.
A file folder drawer. So
okay.
It's like that drawer in Bruce Almighty where he pulls it out and just keeps going.
Oh yeah. I remember that drawer.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. The Friday night kicked things off, speaking of that event, and a lot of, you know, really, not just great people, but, you know, really dedicated to the cause. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to an event like a local GOP event, and you're talking to people who are there because they really believe in what they're doing. I love talking to them.
I'm interested to see how the we're going to need to get probably till about June of next year, but we're going to see things ramping up in the state of Illinois quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a big decision ahead of us in the midterm. The midterm conversation will largely be about how people are reacting to Donald Trump's 2 years, I guess probably more like maybe just a little bit over a year when people start running for those positions. But if Donald Trump is successful at doing things that he delivered on and doing so quickly, the Republicans in the state of Illinois could have a fighting chance. The question will be, what do they choose to do with the opportunity? It's also historically likely that the Republicans get trounced in that midterm election.
Yep.
Mm. People want to see change. People want to see checks and balances back in place. And so, I don't know. We'll see how it ends up developing. But I would really love to see some of the common sense that is pushing back on the absurdity of things in Chicago right now find its way into the statewide conversation. There's not a single Republican in statewide office in Illinois. There's a supermajority of Democrats in the House. There's a supermajority of Democrats in the state Senate. So it would be really, really great, you know, when we're talking about throwing in some checks and balances, that maybe the state of Illinois would try to rectify some of those issues. And then moving over to the west side of the river, it's important also to look at the Republican supermajority in the state of Missouri and see if they're going to get their act together and actually represent the people who sent them there.
Does it make you mad when you look at Missouri? It makes me mad because there's so much that they could be doing, so much they should be doing. And, you know, nobody knows whether initiative petition reform would have actually blocked Amendment 3. It could have, though, and they didn't do it. And, gosh, I hate, you know, being sour grapes about things that moving forward should be good. You know, the Missouri legislature is moving in the right direction, but man, have they missed some opportunities.
In other news this today so far, we've seen that Laura Trump has stepped down from the RNC, and there's a lot of questions about whether or not she's going to be able to or be interested in taking that Senate seat. Should she be appointed by Governor Ron DeSantis, the one being vacated by Marco Rubio, who has been nominated to be the Secretary of State. Laura Trump, this is according to Fox News, announced on X that she would be stepping down as the co-chair of the RNC, citing that her time during the RNC had three distinct goals and they have all been accomplished. She's done a phenomenal job making sure, I really feel like making sure that the Republican Party stayed true to what the Republican people, the movement, wanted to see happen, and that was the return of Donald Trump. With a lot of people along the way who are skeptical, myself being included, not 100% sure early on that the Republican Party would be able to coalesce behind Donald Trump if he has too much baggage, which is the phrase that is always articulated about him. That what mattered to me and to a lot of other people in the party was whether or not he would be able to win. And he did. And I don't think that that happens without Laura Trump at the RNC focusing so well on being present on Election Day and leading up to Election Day to make sure that everything was fair, but also making sure, like, when you think back to Ronda McDaniel, what the heck was she even doing?
Yeah, and these are positions that we didn't really know that much about up until you started to realize that how influential they are. And you do kind of look back and go, well, your job was to do the things that they're currently doing. Why were you not doing those things?
Well, some of the things about like Ronna McDaniel that interested me, what really got me looking at it, was Scott Pressler was doing all this work through Early Vote Action to register voters, and she wouldn't even meet with him.
Ooh.
You know, and then you started looking, well, Laura Trump, when she got in there, and Michael Whatley, did I say that right?
Yeah.
They both were having regular meetings with Scott Pressler, and holy cow, we won Pennsylvania largely because of efforts him and people like him have made through Turning Point and all that other stuff.
She said, Fox News reports last month that she told Fox News' Sean Hannity that she would, quote, that she, quote, would love to serve the people of Florida and would love to consider filling the Senate seat if asked. I have no problem with her being there, and her presence in the Senate would disallow the swampy Republican senators, not from being swampy Republican senators, but from doing it in private.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I would like to see her in the Senate, too. The only thing about Laura Trump that I don't like, honestly, is that I don't like political dynasties that much. And I'm not interested in seeing somebody ascend just because they have the name. But I have nothing against her. She's done a great job, and so I have no reason to be against her being in the Senate.
She also doesn't set up some sort of domino effect of like, okay, now that she's vacated her position, mm-hmm. what do we do? I guess Whatley will probably just take over. She was the co-chair.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it at all. The YouTube live chat poll for today is who should be deported? We have four options. The first one is everybody who's here illegally. The last one is no one should be deported. The two in the middle are a little more complicated, or at least need a little more context. The second option in the question today of who should be deported is criminals. So you remember in 2015 or 16, whenever it was before Trump actually became president the first time, when he said something about how they're sending their murderers and their rapists,
mm-hmm.
like he said, they're not sending their best.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, was that vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
The reports are that prisons in these countries are like have low census because they literally are here.
Yeah.
And we don't have anything on them. We don't know until we catch them and then do some digging or whatever, but they're here. And when I say here, I don't mean America. I mean here mm-hmm. in St. Louis. These gangs are here.
How weak and stupid do we have to look to the government of Venezuela to go, okay, that country's way more powerful than us, but they're idiots. So we're going to empty out our prisons and send them there. And they won't do anything about it. And guess what? If Kamala Harris had won, nothing would have been done about it. That's the kind of leadership that when we talk about foreign policy, nobody mentions that stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's really happening and has happened.
It is kind of interesting on this side of the election to think about if Kamala Harris were elected, what would be happening right now? What would the conversation be right now? How quickly would she be acting on cabinet picks and all that stuff? Did you see the video? I don't even know where they were. Kamala Harris and Dougie Doug were in a box somewhere, and the presidential seal was on the front, and then Jill Biden walks out and Joe Biden walks out. Do you know where that was?
I read it. It was a...
Was it a theater?
It was an event.
It looked like the same place they do that comedy award, and I can't remember what the award is. Adam Sandler just got it recently in the last year or so. But they walk out to this box. The presidential seal is on the front of the box. And Kamala, like you can tell when Jill walks out, Kamala turns because she's walking down. And, you know, she's like they're above people in a box for everybody to come out and everyone claps. Yeah. Joe Biden's walking out. And Jill walks out and she's clapping and she's smiling. And Kamala like turns to look at her and walk down. Jill does not make eye contact with her. When Jill is walking down the steps, Kamala's to her left and she goes to the right. And then President Biden walks down also smiling, waving, people are clapping. He goes to his right. They stand there, and Kamala's kind of like looking out of the crowd and then turning and looking at Jill and Joe. They never look at her once. If they wanted to send the message that they were BFFs as they've always been, they definitely failed at that. We're playing the video on here. Can you tell where it's from?
Yeah, that's at the Kennedy Center.
The Kennedy Center. So, yeah, so they're turning around and looking, and Jill just comes out and waves to the people and makes a hard right turn and walks right past Kamala. They don't shake hands. Kamala doesn't, like, tap Joe on the shoulder. He doesn't acknowledge Kamala Harris's presence at all. It's trouble in paradise.
You're not sure that it's a shun, but it definitely is not any sort of attempt to show, hey, we're all cool here.
If you wanted to push back against rumors that they absolutely hate each other, and Jill Biden longingly looking at Donald Trump at the Notre Dame Cathedral reopening, Donald Trump tweeted out his cologne and is like, it makes even your enemies want to be around you or something like that. I mean, Jill Biden wearing red to go vote.
It is something.
I keep saying there's a ton of money in a tell-all book, and I am pretty sure that Jill Biden's going to write it.
I'll read it.
Heck yeah. I support it. And I think she's the worst wife in America. YouTube live chat poll, Ethan.
Who should be deported? 480 votes today.
Oh, nice. Wow. Cool.
We'll start. We'll go smallest to largest this time. No one. 2%. No one. 4% more recent immigrants.
I was not a choice in this poll.
I considered it.
15% criminals other than illegal entry. And then 79% say every illegal immigrant.
One of our higher vote totals of all, and a resounding near 80% victory for every illegal immigrant should be deported from you fine folks who voted today. Thank you for voting. Go to anniefryshow.com/podcast to check out anything that you missed that you might be looking to hear all of, like Al Robertson, Steve Moore, Mike Bost. But keep it here, because Mark Reardon is next.